Good morning. Glad to see you all here today. I wonder if you have ever longed for community, or if you've ever thought in your life, I need some good people to be spending time with. I need some people to invest in, for people to know who I am. You know, it's maybe a more rare thing perhaps these days as we get more connected digitally to have those really deep and significant relationships that see us through life. And so maybe you've had these feelings. I remember when I had just gotten married to Erin, and we were living in some apartments right next to California Baptist University. And she had been living in Riverside, but I didn't know anybody, so I was new to that city. And I also was working nights, and so I would just wake up and I'd spend the day, my wife would be at work and I would have nothing to do, and I'd be like, I would just sort of wander around my apartment complex. You know, you can only do so much of your own like physical fitness by yourself, and I was just thinking, man, I just need some people in my life. And at one point, there was a guy who was connected to the school that I became friends with, and he was willing to meet up with me, and we did some Bible reading, and we would meet up for coffee, and that was helpful. I really appreciated that. He was kind of connecting me, maybe had an interest in discipling me, but it really only was a more of a coffee hangout every once in a while. And I thought this is great, but it just wasn't the life on life together kind of relationships that I really needed. And I didn't even know what I wanted or what I needed, but I knew I was missing something as it came to relationships. And I think men were made for brotherhood. Men were made for some other men to walk through life with them. Women also were made for cherished relationships with other women. One of the ladies in our church just recently said, the sweetest part of my life is having so many sisters in Christ that pour into me in areas that I didn't even know I needed the encouragement. And so there was something that I found that radically changed all of that. I'm going to tell you partway through this series what it was, partway through the message today. There was something that completely transformed my relationships and allowed me to find some of the depth that I was looking for. But there's a word that the Apostle Paul uses when he talks about relationships of this quality, and it's the word yearn. He said, I yearn, meaning to long for. To yearn for something is to feel a strong desire. And we're going to read a passage where he talks about this. But it's interesting hearing Paul talk with such a depth of emotion about relationships. Because, you know, Apostle Paul, if you've read the Bible, he was a pretty rough and tumble man. This guy could take a beating. He was a shipwreck survivor multiple times. I mean, he was left for dead. He was sharp-minded. He could counter his adversaries. He was quick on his feet. He could change plans in a second if it meant the gospel advantage. And he was never afraid to run into danger. But what's amazing, despite all of that manly toughness, he wasn't a lone ranger. He didn't do that stuff alone. And so there's one letter where he writes to some people that were very valuable to him, and it's with a shocking tenderness. There's a depth of relationship that he reveals, and I want to show it to you in Philippians chapter 1. Look at starting in verse 3, and he says, he's writing to these treasured Christians in Philippi, and he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, for you all, making my prayer with joy. So you start getting some of this emotion already. He's praying, but it's full of thankfulness and it's full of joy. And he says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And then he says, it's right for me to feel this way about you. He's like talking about his feelings. You know, a lot of tough men just don't talk about their feelings, right? So he's like, no, it's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. He's like, our relationship goes heart deep because there's some pretty significant things that we go through together. And it's related to the gospel. It's like some lows and some highs in ministry. There's defense. There's also imprisonment or just persecution. There's all kinds of up and downs where these people went with him. And he says, "For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." So here's Paul, right at the beginning of this letter. He's bubbling with thankful joy. Why is he so thankful and why is he so joyful? What's causing all of this? Their partnership. The thing that made him feel so overwhelmingly grateful and affectionate and just joyful for these people was because of how they partnered with him. It's just not that they were, it's not like they were just stand-up citizens. They're just like good people, like they had a good strong handshake. No, there were some more significant things. It's that they partnered with him in some pretty significant kingdom stuff. And we, when we came to Santa Clarita, us and our launch team, we left a church where this kind of refreshing, heart-filled community was existing and thriving. And in a way, it's now been 5 years since we left Riverside, but we still, I would say like Paul, you know, he says, "I yearn for you all." We still, those of us who left this really good community, we still yearn and long for those relationships. And we get together every once in a while. And if you're a part of our launch team and you came out here to move with us, and if you ever felt just the ongoing yearning and longing, you're not alone. This was Paul's experience as well. How many years was he in ministry? And he still just had this heart throb for people that meant a lot to him. And so actually in many letters, that word yearn, if you do a word study on just that word, you see how many times it comes up in relationships, just how much there's just these ties that are formed. So when I read just this first section of Philippians, here's what I would say. Here's a summary of what I just read. Thank God for heart-level gospel friendships. Thank God. Again, he's pouring out thankfulness and gratitude. Thank God for these heart-level gospel friendships. And I say heart-level because like he said in verse 7, he says, "I hold you in my heart." This is at a heart level. And then I say gospel friendships because he says, "You partnered with me in the gospel." And so these are two qualities that come out in this relationship. What do I mean by gospel friendship? Gospel friendship is not necessarily where all we talk about is you know, the Bible, and that's it. Really, it's that we have friendships with people who are so transformed by the gospel, by the fact that Jesus has redeemed us and saved us and he's sanctifying us, and that we'd spend so much time with our focus on the eternal destination and moving as many people in that direction as possible. That's what I mean by gospel friendship. We're working together for the advance of God's kingdom in specific ways as we're being transformed by him. And so, do you feel like you have a lot of heart-level gospel friendships? Do you feel like they surround you and they fill you with this kind of refreshment and affection? Most people need this. I would say everybody. Everybody needs this. And if you've got it, oh man, it'll fill you with joy. We need people in our lives that help us carry the load and makes life delightful even when things are hard. In fact, you are all created for these kinds of relationships. And the godly men in my life have been like fellow soldiers charging the next hill with me. So when I think about some of the men that are those heart-level, gospel, kingdom-oriented friendships, I think about a picture like this, where some of the tough battles in my life, I've had a more decisive victory because of the men who are willing to fight alongside me. And, you know, we all face all kinds of battles in our minds, in the world, against the enemy, against Satan. We have all these battles and ups and downs in life. And man, what a difference it makes when there's men that are charging the hill with me. And there are men in this church right now that have been comrades like this for me. And then beyond that, the Lord has blessed me with other men in other churches in our network who have been like this. Even just this week, I had lunch with the pastor of the church in Ojai. I was on the phone with Matt Sprankle from Church in the Valley and John McWhorter from Stone Arbor Church in Riverside. These are just names of churches where they're like mission outposts in Southern California and all around, where there's other godly men that are like this, charging the hill together. And so in this church, outside of this church, man, I feel so blessed by this. And last weekend, the members of our church here at Valley Lights, we were invited to go on a mission. It was a three-day mission trip where the reality of heart-level gospel friendships was experienced in a pretty deep way. And I want to share a few updates about what that trip was like for us last weekend. And then I'm going to ask three of the people who wanted the team to come describe the impact. So first off, let me just show you. Here's a quick picture of our team. 14 of us that went. And right in the center is Pastor Bryce and his wife Shelby and one of their kids. We couldn't quite get everybody all at the same time. There's a lot of people running around. So they have more kids than that. But at least this is everybody from our team, 14 of us, including my four kids. And so what we did was on Friday, so it was Friday through Sunday. Friday morning, we met at 5 a.m., which means you have to wake up before 5. And then we had to meet up. So we had people, a lot of people on this team worked their normal job on Thursday. Some of them had art and life group on Thursday night and then didn't start packing until they got home from that. And then some, I think, had some like school after that to do in the middle of the night. So not everybody came at 5 a.m. with the same level of energy, but everyone did come and showed up. So we had people that took time off of work, sacrificed a lot of sleep, and not for vacation, by the way. This wasn't a vacation. This was to work. And they paid money to do it. So these people not only took time off, they paid money to go work. Got home on Sunday night real late, probably about 10 o'clock, maybe between 10 and midnight. Some of these team members got home exhausted, and then there's work on Monday morning. And so I will tell you, that is partnership for the gospel, right? This is a little bit of what Paul's talking about. This kind of, we are in it, our hearts are in it, we're ready to go for the kingdom advantage. And so it was amazing to do all that together. Some of the things we did, we went to a local park a few different times right near where the church meets. And this was one night we just did a hot chocolate giveaway. And this was just hot chocolate and marshmallows, as simple as it could be. And what it did is it allowed us to connect with a lot of people just hanging out at the park. Bryce and his team have done this multiple times, so they have a good rapport with this. And so even when we walked up, people were like shaking Bryce's hand, and the kids were calling him Uncle Bryce, all these little, you know, Indian and Mexican children. There were so many different ethnicities of people there. But they all knew Bryce because of this ministry that he's done. And it was amazing. We got to just talk to people. During this night, Jackie talked with an Asian woman who she asked her about what her thoughts about God. And this woman said she never really thought about God very much and was able to talk about the church that was getting started and invite her to that. Samantha and Aliasha really pushed themselves to start looking for who can we talk to. Actually, those two ladies are in Kid Zone right now. But they really pushed themselves in boldness to start conversations with a stranger, and if the Lord allowed it, to let it become a spiritual conversation. In fact, the next morning we did a coffee pop-up. So hot chocolate was at night. We did coffee in the morning, the same park. And we were talking with some of these people, and Bryce was like, all right, why don't we go back home? We'll clean everything up. But some new people had just come to the park and thought, maybe we can just have a few more good conversations. And so I told those two ladies, I was like, all right, we'll go in 15 minutes. Let's see if you can have a spiritual conversation with a stranger in the next 15 minutes before we go. And they're like, okay. And they did. It was amazing. In fact, Aliasha sat down on our park bench next to a woman who has a Catholic background, but has some interest in the gospel. And Aliasha started sharing her testimony. And the woman asked some questions about the gospel. And I'm like, there we go. The Lord is opening the doors. If you use a little bit of boldness, the Lord can cause some pretty amazing things to happen. This night, I was able to meet a guy named Jose, also with a Catholic background. And I had asked him if he had ever really considered submitting his entire life to Jesus Christ. And he had said, yeah, he probably did that when he was younger. And I had asked him, well, what would you say if you died today and you're standing before God at the gates of heaven, and God says, Jose, why should I let you in? And he said, well, it's because I've been a pretty good person, and I've lived my life to help people. And he gave a few reasons of why he thought he was a good person, and I said, based on that answer, according to the Bible, God will throw you into hell, and you'll not get into heaven. And he was like, I don't know about that. I think we just have a different idea of what God says. I was like, we probably do. Your perspective, though, is in conflict with what the Bible says. And if you want to know a little bit more, if this was a thing you wanted to be sure about, you should read a little bit more of what the Bible says about what it means to find eternal life with Jesus in God in heaven. And I said, do you mind if I show you a little bit about what the Bible says? And he said, yeah, sure. So I just pulled out my phone, and I went to Romans chapter 3, and I showed him how God says, there is no one righteous, no, not one. It's actually very emphatic. I don't know if you've ever read Romans chapter 3. It's emphatic. There's no good people, not a single good person. God says it over and over and over again. And Jesus, even in the Gospels, Jesus says, the teacher calls him good, and Jesus says, no man is good. And so this flies into the face of people that do have more of a Catholic background, because usually the goal is to try to be as good as possible. And so he was really interested in this guy Jose. I was talking to Jose, and then there was another guy who was a Christian at the church, but when I was like kind of talking about the gospel and hell, this other guy was getting like really uncomfortable. they were friends, and I wonder if this guy's like, oh, he's totally messing this up. And but Jose started asking me questions, and he's like, well, what sins should I repent of? I'm like, that's an amazing question. So I started talking more about that, and he's like, do you talk to people like this normally, like often? I was like, this is the most important topic. I love to talk about this kind of thing. And I invited him to church, because I was like, we're part of a team of people helping out the new church. I was like, yeah, that new church is going to be in that elementary school on this morning at 10 a.m. I'd love to have you come check it out. And this other Christian guy had said later that he's been inviting him, but that night Jose asked him, what time is your church service? He's like, I might go. And clearly the Lord he was responding to the gospel. The reason I actually shared so much is because it seemed to me, based on his answers, he was actually responding to spiritual things. And another great thing was we had David on our team, who speaks Russian, and so we had one of the workers at the hotel we were staying at in the mornings, we're making breakfast, and he speaks Russian, and so they started talking. David gives him the flyer, and later the guy texts him, like, where's the church at? And I'm like, this is amazing. God kept using us at different locations to help connect people either to church or to share the gospel or just to start a spiritual conversation about God. And it was so exciting. So we finally get to Sunday morning after doing all these different projects in different areas. And we get to Sunday morning, and there's a baptism. And here's a photo of one of the guys in the middle. So I'm on the left, Pastor Bryce is on the right, and the guy in the middle is named Dylan, and he walks in with like this flannel, boots on. He's like a power line construction worker guy, and at the end of service, he says, like, I know there's a baptism. He's like, can I get baptized? And Zuray was actually the one there, like, Zuray was about to say goodbye because it looked like he was heading out, and he's like, where do I go to get baptized? She was like, let me get somebody. And so she brought him over to me and another guy. We got to clarify with him. And this guy was saying how ready he was. And I said, have you ever at any point decided you wanted Jesus to be fully in charge of every area of your life? And he said, I've been resisting, and there are some areas that I have been resisting, but I don't want to resist anymore. Like, I know my way is not working, and I need God to completely take control of my life. I was like, all right, you're ready to go in the water. So this guy got baptized in his jeans and everything. And our whole team got to see that. There was about six other people that got baptized that day. And but it was amazing for all of us to see God changing lives, even on the spot like that. And we could see just by some of the stories of the Christians that have been a part of Beacon Church, where we were serving, that they were praying for something and God brought Beacon Church. Or they had been, their lives were messed up, and then God connected them to somebody at the church. And it was just like all of these stories converging, where like clearly God wanted this church plant to get started here. And so we were so blessed to be a part of it, just for a weekend even. And it wasn't all just spiritual conversations. Here's a picture of just some other basic stuff. We have our guys that were constructing a water heater that the church needed. And so this involved runs to Home Depot and drilling through metal, just like normal everyday stuff. And some of the ladies helping with the child classes and just all kinds of making balloons. Even someone made a balloon arch, just all kinds of just everyday things that we got to help with to help move the ministry forward. And here's one more photo of just our team from Valley Lights. We got to spend some time near a lake and spent some time praying for Beacon Church and for our church as well, and even praying for each other. We had some really special times praying for each other on the team and just asking for God's help. So it was truly exhausting, and you know, a lot of work, and right in the middle of, for many people, just a really busy time. But it was amazing the partnership with the gospel, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, and then the heart level connection that gets formed when we're doing this kind of stuff together. So I want to invite three people on up here from this team, because I'm just going to ask them a few questions. Thank you. So we've got Jackie and Joseph and Zaray. So I want to ask you about your experience. Did I represent these stories well, by the way? So, all right, you can stand up here. All right, so first question is, so how did you feel? So, you know, you had three days together. You know, it was nonstop. There was no alone time, really, except for when you're asleep. Or on the road, you know, sharing hotel rooms together, the ladies together and the guys together, and up early to bed late. After 3 days together, how did you feel after spending that much time with people from our team? Who wants to go first?
You had mentioned that we were there to work, but my answer to this question might sound contradictory, but it's not. Even though we were like working together, working the whole time, near the end I just kind of felt relaxed. It was just kind of refreshing being around everyone, and so by the end of it, after working for the entire weekend and doing all the stuff with Beacon and doing service and the drive, it just kind of felt relaxing and peaceful. Refreshing at the end.
It's amazing.
I would agree. It was really busy days. I think Bruce mentioned there was a few of us that got like 3 hours of sleep before we kicked off. But the Lord genuinely just provided the energy that we needed. I was kind of amazed that all of us were able to just move forward, and like being on mission like gives you the energy to do what you need to do. And even though it was long days, it was like really fulfilling days, so I think it just gave you the energy to move forward.
Likewise, I think I felt refreshed as well towards the end of it, but I knew that you had asked a question earlier when we first started, like, why are you here? And I had said, I don't know, God just told me to come, so I'm here. And at the end of it, once I got to spend so much time with the team members, I was just like, oh, it's because he wanted to give me refreshment. So
the word they all said was refreshment, refreshing. Time together with people is refreshing. My next question, why? Why was it refreshing to be a part of this team of people?
I think it's sweet when we just have conversations where we get to know each other more on a deeper level. And when we began to pray for each other. I know me and Sam had a long, I think we were the ones that ended up circling that place a little bit longer, but just being able to pray for one another in the areas of life that we may not be able to talk about on the day-to-day, God really, I think, answers those prayers and just gives us more hope and just gives us, I don't know, refills our battery in a way when we're doing that, and I think that's how it happens.
I really loved the multi-generational aspect of our team. So Bruce brought his older four, And then we also, we just had all sorts of generations within our group, which I found.
We got Stella back there too.
Stella holding up the fort.
Acting like a college student totally, out there, honestly.
On the long days, I don't know. She had all the energy, and that I felt, that was one of the refreshing things for me, because like in my day-to-day, like I have my girls and like I hang out with, you know, you tend to hang out with similar people. But it was really sweet and refreshing to get to do ministry next to some guys that I don't typically hang out with or different generations that I don't typically get that unique time. 6 hours in the car, you talk about a lot of things. So that even that is refreshing, and finding out like where people are at and talking about like, well, in the park, did you notice this and did you notice that? Like debriefing, essentially. Each night we would debrief quite a bit. And so it was really sweet just to see what everybody was pulling from the interactions, and even like the kids sharing and stuff was really sweet.
It's awesome.
Almost exactly what they said, but like hanging around like-minded people as well. It, because during the week, like at school and all that stuff, like you're around all sorts of people, but usually it's not people who think the same way or act similarly that you do, or like what you might expect. And so like on Sundays you get it, but then like having it 3 days in a row was really nice. That's part of the reason, like it was kind of relaxing because everyone was just on the same page and stuff. And like I was hanging out with like John and David a lot during that week, and I don't see them during the week usually. It's usually Sunday and then occasionally things, so it was really fun getting closer with everyone, and then all the ladies too, just talking with everyone. It was a lot of just pure enjoyment just being around everybody.
Yeah, it makes quite a difference when there's shared values, like you're saying. So our last question is, why did you feel more connected at a heart level in these relationships? I guess if you didn't answer that already.
Kind of piggybacking off of what you were just saying is what I was thinking. Like, it's amazing how if you have the same baseline mission as people, like it doesn't matter what stage of life, it doesn't matter where you've come from, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter any of that, that like there's something that bonds us that's really special and unique. Like you immediately feel bonded with everybody on your team because you have that same mission in mind. Which I just think is super special to see. We see it every Sunday, but it was really special to see on a weekend where we're so focused on the mission and like taken away from all the noise of everyday life, which I know we talked a lot about, like, okay, we can do that for this weekend, but now like we can also do that here. So it was cool to debrief with everybody and be like, okay, like if you have an evangelism opportunity, invite me, like bring me along. And even just how well we meshed with the Beacon team, I think was another example of that, is like because they have the heart attitudes and because we have the same baseline mission of what we're doing and how we care for people and what we're focused on, which is bringing people to Christ, it was very easy to work with them, and like everybody on our team I felt like meshed with them really well.
Mm-hmm. I'd just like to add that I think what was cool for me being with our team, I mean, I know what my friendships mean to me and the way that I relate to my girls, but I was observing Joseph and David and John, and I was watching their conversations and just like seeing them laugh and just seeing them be joyful. And I just felt connected to them that they know the same thing that I feel towards my female friendships. And I think that that was like really sweet for me of like, oh, that same hope and that same joy and fulfillment from my sisters in Christ they have in their fellow brothers in Christ. And though I can't relate to them at that heart level with them, knowing that we both know that feeling was really special.
Another thing, like kind of what Jackie was saying, like the meshing, people that you're not with all the time, that you don't have hours and hours and hours poured into the friendship, just immediately being able to work alongside and communicate with one another with the ease that we did, was, it made it feel like such a deep connection so quickly. Just, it was so simple and straightforward.
It's awesome. Thank you guys. That was a great report. All right, so who wants to go on the next trip after you heard all that? Pretty awesome. We should have given that before the sign up. See. That's pretty amazing, the kind of connection. One of we had this group text going with everybody on the team, and after we got back on Monday, someone had texted this in the group chat, and they said, let's partner in mission work together more often. If anyone ever has a good evangelism opportunity and needs more people or wants to introduce a non-believer to more church people, I'm always down to help and partner with you to help someone come to Christ. The word partner shows up twice in this text, by the way. And that really is the word that comes up a lot in Philippians as really the basis for this overflowing joy and gratitude that Paul has. And so another guy had texted on this group chat, man, I felt like I met some people who really understood me. And so there's this really amazing connection. One of the things that we talk, there's like this overarching theme that we talk about in our church from time to time, and it's this idea. We pay steep costs, and we find great treasure. This was our theme of our five-year anniversary a month ago. What you really heard, I think, is people that paid a steep cost, time away from work, time away from family, sleep is a cost, money is a cost, all these costs, but they got treasure as a result. And it's not, you know, it's stuff that you almost couldn't even pay for with money if you wanted to. And what's amazing about the kingdom of God, the more that you sacrifice, the more you invest, the more you push past discomfort, the more you make commitments when you don't really want to make a commitment, the more that you move further and further on the path of Christ, the treasure that you find is indescribable. There's nothing else in the world that can offer compared to the treasure that we find in Christ and doing things His way. And that's a little bit, you got a little bit of a flavor just hearing these people talk. So there's this teaming that happened for our church with Beacon last weekend. Another expression of teaming together you got to experience a little bit today, and that's the team that we have from Seabreeze Church. And so they did a great job with our first couple songs of worship this morning. It's led by Katie, or Tudor, who's an associate pastor at Seabreeze, and his wife Katie, and they came. So there's 11 of them here today helping. Actually, some of them are in Kids Zone as well. They helped with our setup and our teardown. And so it's amazingly refreshing for us. We feel this joy and gratitude from the help that they're providing. It's a great opportunity for them, though, to experience some of the kingdom focus going on a mission, even if it's just a one morning thing. And Katie and Tudor, they've helped us out before. Here's a photo. The left picture is our very first time meeting at Embassy Suites. This was... We were there for a couple months, and Katie's there on the guitar, and they had brought a few people from Seabreeze to help us out. On the right hand is a trip that we took to Germany, I think 7 years ago, and Tudor and his wife Katie, they went with us with a few other people from our network. We had people from, I think, three or four different churches come together for this Germany team, and at the time, our son Timothy was... in utero. And so he's our only international traveler, I think. And there was one day we were trying to get to Germany, and so we were at Heathrow Airport in London, and I was miscalculating the times, and so we're trying to figure, I'm at Starbucks trying to figure out how to convert dollars into pounds and how much a cup of coffee is going to cost me. And someone realized we're in the wrong terminal. This is probably Tudor. We realize we're in the wrong terminal, and our plane is actually all the way boarded already. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to tell the leaders of our network that we missed an international flight because I was trying to get Starbucks. So we're running through the airport. Timmy in utero is going through the airport. We did a lot of running, actually, in Germany, trying to catch buses and things, which is probably why Timmy is as adventurous as he is. So it's pretty amazing. So we've had, over these years, some pretty amazing partnership for the gospel type moments with friends like Tudor and Katie. And internationally, even. And Barry and Holly were also on that trip. They were in Amsterdam while we were in Germany. We all met up in England. It was pretty amazing, all the connections that were happening from that. Seabreeze Church, where this group is from, is hosting our network's annual Relevate conference in November. And so you may have heard a little bit about this. I would highly, highly recommend that you investigate this. This is again another thing that costs you something. Remember I said, pay steep costs, find great treasure. There are things that will cost you something, but what you get in return, it far outweighs it. So there's a little bit of information. It's been open for a while to register. The registration, you really need to sign it by tomorrow if you want to do that. But I'd really encourage you to try that. It's really where all the things that we're talking about and all the kind of shifts for us personally and spiritually we're trying to make, it's really highlighted and described and taught and experienced at Relevate, not just from the content that's spoken, but also from the experience of going together with people from our church. So I'd encourage you to really consider that. And so I want to show you, now that I've mentioned a handful of different churches in our network, I want to show you a network scale. So look at this map of California. So there's some blue dots here. This is just some of the churches in our network. Well, we have, so Santa Clarita is right here, Valley Lights. Seabreeze Church is in Huntington Beach. This is where Church in the Valley is in Ontario, and Stone Arbor Church in Riverside, which is where I got my training in ministry. Up here is where Beacon Church is in Folsom, just outside of Sacramento. And then there's another church called Pathfinder Church in Reno, Nevada. There's going to be a test in about 30 minutes for all of this stuff. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to remember all this. I'm actually intentionally trying to overwhelm you with details. So go ahead and just go to the next slide. So I drew lines indicating, so our church this last week went to Beacon Church, so we drove the 6 hours. And then, of course, we have Seabreeze this week coming to visit us. This line represents a family from our church went all the way to Pathfinder Church the same weekend that we were at Beacon. They were there encouraging some fellow pastors in our network. At that time, Pathfinder also sent people to Beacon the same Sunday we were there to be an encouragement and a help. And then also Church in the Valley, right now, this morning, is at Beacon Church. They just sent a team, just very similar to what we did. Stone Arbor as well has just sent a team to Beacon a couple weeks ago. I think Seabreeze did as well. These are just a few. What I'm trying to do is just show you it's called a network for a reason. Networks are like webs of relationships where there's like all these interconnections and happening. There's a lot of movement happening in between all of our churches and what we're trying to do. And all of those lines represent partnership. Again, this is the word that Paul's using in Philippians. He says, specifically says, I thank my God as I pray for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day till now. So whether you realize it or not, you're a part of a church network that excels in partnership for the gospel, where we're magnifying and multiplying our effect for God's kingdom because of what we're doing together in many, many cities. By the way, this is a fraction of the churches in our network. You get a bigger picture if you go to Relevate Conference. But go to the next slide real quick. All of this teaming allows us to live a bigger story. It's very easy to get focused on our little life, on our little circles that we go through day to day, and forget the bigger story that we're a part of. This teaming allows us to live a bigger story. It allows Valley Lights, whatever size we are now and whatever size we are in the future, we get to be a part of a much bigger thing that God is doing. We're not, our kingdom impact for God is not just what you see right here, right now. There is so much more happening, and we get to be part of that. So I showed you all of this morning. So pictures from trips and a vision of teaming and names of churches that you'll forget as soon as you walk out of here. I've showed you all of these details, really, because I'm hoping I could get you to ask this question. How can I develop heart-level gospel friendships? How can I get that? That's what I'm hoping that you're asking, or that you're wanting, at least. These kinds of meaningful, lifelong, refreshing relationships. And if you want that, there's something that weaves all of us together. Every church that I just named, every relationship that I've named in this message, there's something very specific that creates it and binds it together. Would you like to know what it is? It is the heart attitudes. The heart attitudes are our core values as a church. The heart attitudes, and this is the kickoff for a sermon series that we're going to do starting today, where we're going to look at the 7 core values of our church. Also, the 7 core values that are held by every church in our network and every pastor and every church member. And the core value, or these 7 heart attitudes, they summarize many, not all, but really many of the New Testament commands about how we relate to one another and how church is supposed to be done. And what results when the heart attitudes are in operation, what results are relationships that are delightful for years, for a very, very long time. And it's really common these days for people to talk about damage that was done to them in church relationships, damage that was done to them in family relationships or friendships that get broken or friendships that there's just stuff we don't talk about. That's very common. The heart attitudes, they work in church, they work in marriage, they work in relationships with kids, everything. What it does, it allows us to have relationships that are healthy. And when things get damaged, it allows us to repair and reconcile where there's genuine trust built and genuine unity deepened because of the heart attitudes. Again, the heart attitudes is not a mystical thing. It's their New Testament command summarized in a way that's really easy for us to grasp. So not only are the relationships really good, but the heart attitudes allow us to accomplish a lot for God's kingdom. It really protects the church's ability to function well on mission. So here's a quick list of our 7 core values. You don't have to memorize this. It's on our website. We're going to go through it week by week. But this is just our 7 core values called the heart attitudes. And our members, if you've committed to Valley Lights Church as a member, and you've gone through our class and made that commitment, you've committed to living out these 7 values. And we all hold each other accountable to living these out. In fact, if you're a member and you refuse to practice one of these, you can't stay here. You have to either bring yourself into conformity with what the Bible has said about how we relate, or you can't be a member here. You can't be a disobedient, Bible-refusing member of the church. And so these are very, very important to us. So what I'm trying to cast vision for you all is this idea. We are knit together when we love the same things, when we have the same values. Actually, this is what some of these the folks on the team were saying a few minutes ago. It's amazing the kind of refreshment and the unity and the experience that happens when we have the same perspective. We cherish and treasure and value the same things. And so that's what Paul says. You know, because of your partnership in the gospel, I hold you in my heart. For you're all partakers, like sharers with me of grace, both in bad things or things that feel bad, like imprisonment, and also in defense and confirmation of the gospel, all kinds of experiences. We are knit together when we love the same things, if we're committed to the same things. So if you're here and today you're wanting deeper connection with people, and if you're wanting your life to be spent on significant things, I'll say that again. If you want deeper connections with good people, and you want your life to be spent on significant things, you're in the right place. This is a place where that can happen. And I'd encourage you to take a deeper step into this church community. Here's a few things you could do in response. I'd encourage you, especially if you're newer here or if you're newer to the heart attitudes, here's one next step I'll show you on the next slide here, is to really examine the heart attitudes. And what I mean by that is just focus in, like lean in and really, really pay attention to what we talk about. Explore what makes us us. The heart attitudes, it is the thing that makes our church and our network distinctive. And it was what makes our relationships the way that they are. I'd also encourage you to buy and read The Heart Attitudes, The 7 Keys to Healthy Biblical Community by Harold Bullock. He's the founder of our network and wrote an excellent book summarizing this. And then a third next step might be to register for Relevate Conference, as I've mentioned. So I hope this has been helpful. I hope this has inspired and cast some vision for you for what we can do when we're engaged in a significant way in God's kingdom and with his people. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for this morning, for using us, Art Valley Lights, to be a help to Beacon Church last week. Thank you for all the other churches that are partnering together for the defense and confirmation of the gospel. And I pray that you'd continue to strengthen the bonds of unity that we have. Would you allow us as members of Valley Lights to go even deeper in our own understanding and walk in the hard attitudes, which is really, Jesus, so many of the things that you've commanded us, ways for us to obey. And would we be a kingdom colony where people come in and experience something totally different and also that is really pleasing to you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.